Amen. Let us praise the Lord.
The Lord is good.
The Lord is merciful.
The Lord is gracious toward us.
Everything that comes from the Lord is good.
Everything that comes into our life, we give thanks for.
So Lord, we do thank you this day
for all that you've given to us.
For this new day, O Lord,
a day of joy and gladness.
Lord, teach us to rejoice again this day.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
I want to pick up with a verse that we kind of left off the last time I spoke. It's in Matthew 24.
Atong subliyon pagtanaw ang kabalang kasulatan sa Matthew 24, atong iyang ibiyaan atong atisay atong kakahapon.
It's actually two verses. It's verse 13 and 14.
24, 13, o 14, ibutang sa inyo mga mokbo.
It says, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved.
Amen.
And then it says, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Now, I want to make a picture of the tabernacle again. So we were talking about being saved. We were talking about being born again. And I believe that we mentioned the third chapter of John. Now remember, we are talking about this message of the kingdom. Not just my message, but the message that Jesus said is his message of the kingdom. So we have to take everything that Jesus taught as his message of his kingdom. Now, when we first, the beginning of the book of John, man by the name of Nicodemus came, and what was the question Nicodemus asked? He said that Jesus, he called him Rabbi, and he said, you are a teacher come from God. He didn't really ask a question, he really made a statement to Jesus. But Jesus answered the man. How many of you know that Jesus can see the question in your heart? And maybe the thing that you said with your mouth is not the real question in your heart. So what the man really wanted to know is, how can I be saved? So Jesus said to him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Now, when a man, we know that the tabernacle is a pattern of God's house, of God's kingdom. Everything that God showed to Moses is a picture. It's a natural sign, a natural picture of something spiritual.
Ang ipahimo sa Dios kato kang Moses, mao kini siya usa ka hulagway Dios, kung unsa man ang mga butang espirituhanon na iyang pasabot sa atong ginabuhi.
So for many years, the Jewish people, they carried out these rituals of things they were to do with the tabernacle, the temple, and this sacrifice. And they didn't always know what this meant. So the first thing, when a man came into the tabernacle, we'll call this whole thing for now the tabernacle. So the first stop, the first step inside the tabernacle was called the brazen altar. Now an altar is a place where some kind of sacrifice is made. And so the brazen altar was a picture. It's where the blood was first shed. It's the place where the blood of the bull, the blood of the sheep, the blood of the lamb, which means that it was a picture, a foreshadow, looking into the future of when Jesus Christ Himself would be the Lamb of God, and the Bible says, slain from the foundation of the world. So you know that for all those many years before Jesus, the Jewish people kept these traditions, but they could not be born again. They could not be born again In fact, the disciples could not be born again until Jesus died and was rose again and died on the cross. Now, I drew a picture of the cross. It only represents something that happened 2,000 years ago. This is not a crucifix. It is not a little thing I can wear around my neck. It is not a thing I can put on my car or on my taxi. It is not a thing I can pray to. It has nothing to do with a picture I can put in my house and bow down to. It only represents my faith in what Jesus did many, many years ago. That blood that was shed way back then, by faith, I believe that it can wipe away all my sin. My sin that was my problem is now white as snow. Because of the blood. Now, what Jesus said to this man is that he must be born again. And Nicodemus did not completely understand what he meant by this. He was thinking, I'm too big and my mother is very old. I can't go back and do this again. So Jesus was trying to get this man to think on a higher level. And you see, the kingdom, the message of the kingdom, is to bring you in your mind, in your soul, to a higher level than just the natural things that we can touch and see. So essentially what Jesus was saying to the man is that you need to come the first step inside the door. Born again is the first step. Now, if the man dies, as soon as he's born again, he will go into paradise with Jesus Christ. In other words, he will go into a spiritual place and Jesus will be there. Some people call it heaven. And the word heaven means a spiritual place. It doesn't have to mean that I walk on a street that's made out of gold. Because gold means the nature of God. So let's read the verse again. He said, except a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So the man is now inside the confines of the outer gate, outer fence. But he is still not in the kingdom of God. Because he said, when you are born again, now you can see the kingdom of God. Now, this was true in the natural as well, because the outer perimeter was 10 cubits high. Am I right? 10? 5. The height was 5. Okay. And 5 cubits, in my way of thinking of how many feet, would be 8 feet, yeah. So, so 8 feet is about that high. That's almost 3 meters. Now, no man can see that high. So, he must be talking about something here, the structure of the tabernacle itself, that you can't see it from the outside, but when you come in, you can see something in here.
So,
now you have a vision. That means that when you've allowed the blood of Jesus to take away your guilt and your sin, now the eyes of your soul are opened up and you can see spiritual things. Have you ever tried to talk about the things of the kingdom to a sinner?
ang imo tanawin na dili pagkita sa mga makasala o sa mga mabutang na naas ng nagigal sa Ginoo.
When you finish talking, the man will shake his head and say, I just don't see it. But sadly, I have talked to many, many people who say that they are Christians, and I speak to them of spiritual things, and they also shake their head and they say, I don't see it. So the Holy Spirit has to open the eyes of our understanding. You know, I knew the Word of God for many, many years. But I resisted the baptism of the Holy Spirit . You see, I had formed a judgment about people that were baptized in the Holy Spirit. In my intellect, I said, well, they're nice people, but they're... You know, they're very weak and fragile, and if they don't have this, they'll probably fall apart, and you know, they're almost crazy, but not quite. And so for many years I fought it. You know, brethren, I was a stubborn fellow. Amen. Some might say you still are. But I was so full of religious tradition. I want to ask you a question. Be honest with me today. How many of you were born into religious tradition? Come on. Some kind of religious tradition. Only two people here were born into a religious tradition? Oh, lots of people. Amen. Do you know that was the worst and hardest thing in my life to overcome? I think it's easier to overcome sins than to overcome religion. I'm going to ask you another question. I won't remember your names. You can raise your hand and be honest. How many of those of you that raised your hand that you were born into some kind of religious tradition, how many of you believe that you have too much religious tradition to overcome to come into the kingdom of God?
Na unsa man ang naa ato nakit-an nga kahit
begins. Oh, everybody has overcome? Brother, I guess I'm finished then this morning. Nothing more to say? I think by your laugh, you're telling me you should have been raising your head. Amen. Okay. Listen. You're not going to be saved and into the kingdom of God by following the traditions of religion. When the word of God comes in conflict to traditions of your fathers, which one are you going to choose? Which one is true? The word of God? Yes, of course. Amen. Okay. So, when you're born again, now you can see the kingdom of God, which means now you can see the holy place, and within the holy place is the most holy place. So, my story is just being born again, I was able to see things of the Word, but I could not see things of the Spirit. So then, when Nicodemus began to talk about his natural understanding of this, Jesus gave him another word. So Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." Now, what does it mean to be born of the water and born of the Spirit? He already has the blood. And with the blood, he can see. But he cannot enter yet. So Jesus said, you must be born of the Spirit and the water. Now the next step is a brazen laver, and the brazen laver is filled with what?
Water.
Water. Okay. There we go. And water means what? Insofar as our walk in God. Baptism.
Bautismo.
Can I hear you children say baptism?
Baptism.
All right. And I think you heard Brother George say a baptism means
that you go into the water all the way. So we're talking about born of the water and born of the Spirit. Now I can take you down to the river, and you tell me that you have accepted the blood of Jesus on the cross, and I say, I baptize you now in the name of Jesus, and I put you into the water and bring you back out, of course. Now what I actually did is I buried you. But only for a few seconds. See, I couldn't bury you in dirt because I wouldn't have time to dig you up again. So that means that your old man, your old nature, is buried now with Christ. And you did that as a proclamation to other people who are witnesses, and you're saying in front of these other people, my old man of sin is dead. I'm now in Christ. But then he said, now remember, John the Baptist said in the 3rd chapter of Matthew, he said, I am baptizing you with water unto repentance. Verse 11, I baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that comes after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. So, okay, I can, like John, I'm like John, I can baptize you in water. But I can't baptize you in the Holy Ghost. So let's look at what does the word baptize mean? It means you go into it and you're completely covered all the way around. So if you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, that means all of you is in the Spirit of God. So the Spirit of God, and here's you. So you are completely in the Spirit of God. Did you understand? All right. Now you have to ask Jesus to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. So Jesus said, then he said, when you are baptized in the Spirit and, or how did he say it in John? You meant born of the Spirit and of the water. Now, now you can enter the kingdom of God. He didn't say you're in, but he said you can enter now. So what is there in here that's not out here? So in here, I'm not going to talk about the furniture right now. I'm just going to say, this is the fullness of Christ. So, out here, we have Christ in me. How many of you children asked Jesus to come into your heart? So if I ask you, where is Jesus Christ, where are you going to say? He's in here. But you know, he's also other places too, isn't he? Amen. So now, it's not just Jesus in me, it's me in Christ. You see, when I just had Jesus in me, I did some things and went some places that did not please him. And if I had kept doing those things, I would have grieved him, and he probably would never have spoken to me anymore. I would not be hearing his voice anymore. Amen. So, what I'm saying now is, if we want to make church according to the kingdom of God, we can say, well, this I'm in now, this is church, I've got the kingdom of God. Gotta pull those people up there. Now remember, the thief on the cross, he didn't get any further than this. And in a few minutes later, he died. But Jesus promised him that he would go with him to heaven. So if I build my church here, if I make my denomination here, I'm very much of an evangelical church.
I preach the gospel of salvation. Salvation by the blood. Repent and be saved. And then I would probably say, okay, you're saved. You're going to go to heaven now. You don't need to do anything more. But then I might go a little further. And our founder has another great revelation. And he says, but we need to be baptized. The first one says, evangelize, 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 get everybody saved. Then the denomination says, oh, we're Baptists, we have to baptize. And then there's another one that says, well, we need more than that. We need to be filled with the Spirit. We need the second chapter of Acts. And we do, by the way. We need the second chapter of Acts. We need all these things. So we're going to be Pentecostals. And then we can have all kinds of things in between. And the one group says, well, you didn't baptize right, you didn't say the right names. Another one says, well, you're not keeping enough laws, you're not keeping enough rules, you're worshiping the wrong day. And the Apostle Paul spoke to these kind of beliefs. They were coming up already in his day. He said, some of you are keeping feasts, you're keeping days, you're keeping laws and rules, and eat not this and touch not that. He called them foolish children. Have I spent all this time preaching and you still don't understand the kingdom of God? In other words, the kingdom of God is not all these rules and regulations and scribes and Pharisees and all these sects and things that man has put on. Now let's take this verse before in Matthew chapter 3 verse 10, before John said, I baptize you in water. And he's talking to the Jewish people with their traditions of Abraham. And he said, behold, now also the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire.
Yes.
aron magapamuna pa siya og lahat.
John is saying that the old tree that is not bringing forth any fruit of the kingdom, God is going to have the axe laid to the root, and it's going to be cut down. These old systems of man-made religion, the axe is coming to the root. God is bringing these things of man down.
Ang Dios makuskano kay niya himuon kini sa ato ang mga kinabuhi.
I'm telling you, brethren, hear the word of God in this hour.
So kaya mo maisun kinahanglan ato paminaw ang pulong sa Dios ng kapanahonan karon.
Come out of her, my people.
Mao na magayon sila gawas ka bukid kaya natungod kay sama wala pa niya kini hansaha.
Come out of her, come out of her, come out of her. And there are even some of them that are built out here. Come out of her. What do you mean, Brother Mark? There's churches that are outside, completely outside? Yes. If the system tells you that we can save your children by baptizing them when they're babies, they're not in here at all. If they tell you that you can be saved by eating a little piece of bread that the priest changes into the body of Jesus Christ, it's a lie. It's not in the kingdom of God. And you will not be saved by it. Hallelujah. Can anybody say amen?
Amen.
Do you believe what I'm saying?
Amen.
Okay. So we come out of her, my people, and come in to the kingdom of God. He said that he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with what? Fire. What does fire mean? What is it? Do you enjoy touching fire? Is it painful? Yes. Do you think the fire is talking about tribulation in our life?
Yes.
And what does baptize in fire mean? That means that this is fire. Now, it's not natural fire. Amen. I can't get baptized by jumping into the furnace. But it means I'm going to have to go into it anyway. But not on my terms. Who will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire? Jesus. Christ.
So
that means that the fire that is coming into your soul, into your life, who are you going to say is the cause of it? The devil or Jesus? So Jesus is baptizing you in fire. And how do we respond to that? Do we say, thank you, Jesus? Amen. You know, I don't like to be thankful for fire. I don't like fire at all. You can put fire on me all day and I still don't like it at the end of the day. But my attitude is going to change about fire. I want to tell you a little story. It won't be a long story. I was in my 30s. That's been quite a while ago. And it was before I went anywhere to any other country to preach. But in my life was the most terrible fire that I have ever endured. And I hated it. I was angry about it. And I was helpless. I could not do anything about it. And I heard a preacher say, in everything give thanks. So, okay, in this situation I can thank you, Lord. Then I heard the other verse that said, for all things. And in my heart I rebelled. I said, no, no, this is not of God. This is not God. I will not thank God for it. So one morning, I had to get out of bed at 5 o'clock in the morning. And in those days, I also hated 5 o'clock in the morning. Everything was coming against my nature. And I had to get in my car and I had to drive down to the big city. And I had a meeting in the big city. So I got in my car. It was a cold winter day. And I was very angry and very sad. And the Holy Spirit kept whispering to me, thank me today, son. And I said within my soul, okay,
I'll have to obey. It's the word of God. I have to obey. So, my mouth didn't want to open. My flesh said, "No, I'm not in agreement with this." But my spirit said, "You must obey, son." So, here's what I did. Thank you, Lord. I'm not going to open my mouth, but thank you, Lord. I'm going to keep my teeth shut, but thank you, Lord. Well, after doing that a couple of times, my jaw muscles loosened up a little bit. And I said, "Okay, yes, thank you, Lord." And I got on the road and I was driving along and I kind of got lost in thanking the Lord. And finally I was really flying. I really got to the point where I was blessing the Lord. I don't have time to tell you the whole story, but God did a miracle for me that day. No, He didn't grow me a new hand or make me a new eye or anything like that. But He fixed a circumstance that I did not know it was there. I had no way of fixing it, and He did it for me. And after that, I went back to my job at the hospital and I said, "Lord, I think You must have done a miracle today." So you see, I'm telling you, I was just being introduced. I wasn't in here. But God was showing me His goodness, and He's saying, "Listen, son, I can do anything for you if you'll trust me." Amen. Now, we'll just do verse 12 here yet in Matthew 3. He said, "His fan is in His hand, and He will thoroughly purge His floor and gather His wheat into the garner, but He will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." So He's talking about, you understand that what He says about wheat, the same thing is true of rice, is it not? The rice has to be separated from the chaff. It has to go through a thrashing process. Now there are several methods of doing the thrashing process.
One is you can lay all the stalks out in a big hard floor like this floor. And you get the cows to walk on it, walk on it, walk on it. The cows walk on it. And they separate the grain from the chaff. Another way they can do it is they have these, they used to have these sticks with a joint on them, and they would beat it. And the impact of beating it would separate the grain from the stems and the chaff. Now, man has made machines today that do this. There are little machines that you can feed it in, and they're called thrash machines. And they have bigger machines now. A man rides in an air-conditioned cab, and he has a cutter in the front that's as big as across from these two posts. It cuts the grain. It goes into the machine. And pouring out comes the grain. Now, what is the purpose of this thrashing procedure? It's to separate the fruit from the chaff. You heard me call it fruit. It's really grain, but it means it's the fruit. It's the good part to eat. How many of you would enjoy going through a thrash machine? Would you rather have the cows walk on you or be beaten with a stick? You see, the chaff cannot come in. You cannot make bread out of chaff. You cannot eat the straw. You cannot make bread out of the straw or the chaff. What does God want of you? He wants the first fruit of your life. What is the purpose of all this? Does he just want us to enjoy our life of being near Jesus?
Gusto pa na ang Diyos gusto po na kita makalipay sa kapagaling diha o ba ni Kristo?
Well, He really wants more.
Gusto pa siya na napay amay na kung aktum o aktum sa tuwag pagpapalanggan.
You know, He's not really satisfied until He can make us in His likeness. So you see, this denomination is not teaching the people that He wants you to be like Him. All it says is, get the blood and you're all done. This one is saying, just get under the water, you're okay now. This one is saying, just get baptized with the Holy Spirit, everything's going to be alright then. But the kingdom message that must be preached in all the world also says that God wants us to be sons. Sonship. And I know we only have time to touch on this. Let's go to the verse in Hebrews, the second chapter. Hebrews chapter 2, and it's in verse 10. I'll read verse 9 so we get it in context. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. Crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons into glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. Now, if Jesus was made perfect in His suffering, you say, well, Brother Mark, wasn't He perfect when He was born? Of course He was, but He was a child. And He was to be made perfect in His maturity by suffering. So if we are to be made like Him, like His sons, then shall we not also come through suffering like He did?
Sama
Now remember, he is the captain of our salvation. We are his sons. Let me go back to Genesis for just a minute. The very beginning, chapter 1. And we come down to verse 26 and 27. And God said, amen. And God said, amen. So the first word of God was not a written word, it was a spoken word, right? But the spoken word of God is just as holy as his written word. That means that I cannot change the spoken word of God or the written word of God. But you see, the devil wants to change the word of God. And he adds a few of his words and takes a few words away, and it completely changes what God said. And he gives some new definitions to the word. And he deceived Eve that way. Eve, come now. You're not really going to die. You're going to have something better. I mean, God is holding out on you. So he was saying to Eve, listen, you can really be God yourself. He knows things that you don't know. Now that's different than what we read in Hebrews, where it says that God wants many sons. He's not going to have many little gods. He's going to have many sons. Now, by the way, sisters, sons includes you. That is not a word that means natural gender. We men, we're also going to be bride. That means we're going to be joined with Jesus Christ. Okay, let's go on here for a minute. Let us make man in our image after our likeness. Who was God talking to? He said, our.
Now, do you see, the devil might make a new Bible and say, I don't like that word our. Let's just say, my image.
So there.
It might change a lot of things about what we believe about God. So, you see, God is three. But He's one. Come now. You're also three. Are you three, brother? Are you flesh? Are you spirit? And are you soul?
See?
But when I look at you in my natural eyes, all I see is your natural man. Amen. When I look at some of you, I see a younger face than brother. I see a female face. But those are just natural things. Inside of you is a soul that is not man and not woman. And I cannot see that soul, and I cannot see the spirit that is in you. But you hear the voice of God by the Spirit. And your spirit, if you're open to the things of the Spirit, will speak to your soul and say, the Spirit of God has spoken to my spirit, and now my mind has to agree that this is God that said this word. You see, we have the Father. You have the Son. And you have the Holy Spirit. Okay? And this is God. And God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. So because spiritual things speak to spiritual things, the Spirit of God speaks to the spirit of man. If you're not saved and you hear a preacher preaching salvation, it is the Holy Spirit speaking to your spirit and saying, you need to go up there and you need to get the blood of Jesus and you need to come to the cross. And then we have my soul and my body. Now, God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. So here we have the image of God. And here we have man made in the image of God. God speaks, God hears, He sees, He feels. God is glad. Sometimes God is very sad because of things. Sometimes God is angry. So you see, we have the same capabilities that God has. Amen. But he said there's one other thing. He wants us made in His likeness. So I am in the image of God, but I am not yet in His likeness. That means I am not quite like God. When people do awful things to me, my first nature is to say, oh, I don't like that. Why are they so stupid? And then the Holy Spirit checks me. And he says, son, how do you think I look at that situation? Oh, you love that woman, huh? You have hope for her? I don't have any hope for her, but you do? You have hope for her? I guess I need to change my thinking. Okay, forgive me, Lord. I really want to be like you. I want to think like you. I want to look at these people that I call dumb and stupid and terrible. I want to think like you think about them. So I want to be a son, and I want to be like you. So I just finish with one more verse. It's still here. Verse 27. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him, male and female created He them. So the image of God, He did that a long time ago. Now, God did not make monkeys in His image. I don't care what Darwin thinks. God did not make the cow in His image. Or the dog, or the horse, only man in the image of God, and only man can be like God. So we've only got to start. Do you want to be sons of God? Do you want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, in fire? Amen. And you will be made in His likeness. It's going to take a while. But you've got a long time to go yet. Keep on. And God be with you. Amen.